Welcome to Garden with Harmony. I'm your host, Harmony, and for today's lesson from the garden, we talk microgreens. And during the course of this episode, we'll discuss how to grow microgreens, what you can grow, and why you should try it out. To get us started, let's talk about what microgreens are. Microgreens are veggie greens that have been harvested just after developing leaves. And depending on the variety, they're harvested at about 1 to 3 inches in height. Anything larger than that should really be considered baby greens or petite greens, which have a bit more growth to them. Microgreens consist of the main stem, the cotyledon leaves, or the embryonic leaves, and usually the first set of true leaves. They've been growing in popularity since being introduced in San Francisco in the 80s, and they're considered a specialty often used for garnishes. Now, anything that germinates and grows quickly is a good option for microgreens. And remember, with microgreens, we're not looking at the whole crop, just the first set of true leaves. So kale, arugula, cabbage, mustard greens, these are all fast-growing varieties, and they can be harvested within 2 weeks. Chard, beets, shiso, alfalfa, and then we have herbs like cilantro, basil, dill, lemon balm. These are all other great options as well, but they'll take a little bit longer, and these are usually ready to be harvested within 4 weeks. Now, if you're looking for the biggest nutritional bang for your buck, red cabbage, cilantro, amaranth, and daikon radishes are really going to be your best bet here. But what about the taste? What can microgreens add to your plate? And what should you grow depending on your taste? If you're looking for something with a little kick or spice, give arugula, radishes, or cress a try. For something more earthy, try purslane, chard, or beets. And for a more of a mild flavor, look at kale, broccoli, cabbage, or if you're interested in something a bit more bitter, chicory and dandelions are an option as well. And what if you want to grow something to add to your salad for a bit of visual appeal, or you just love adding bright colors to your food? Red garnet amaranth is one of my favorites with its bright pink stems, and opal basil has a really, really beautiful purple color. Bull's blood beets, say that 3 times fast, has a deep reddish pink color to their leaves. Ruby radish has a deep red color as well, and then sorrel with its green leaves and red stems and veins. Can you tell that I really like reds and pinks? And then regardless of what you're looking for, there's going to be something to meet your needs. Whether you want something for the taste, you want something for the look, or if you're looking for something just for that nutritional value. And now that you've hopefully decided on what to grow, let's talk about how you can grow it. Now you can buy ready-made kits, and I actually have a really good one linked in the show notes for this episode. It is on Amazon. It's super easy to use, but if you're looking for a DIY option, and I always like to offer a DIY option, I've seen Tupperware containers, old lettuce clamshells, bowls, and plant trays used. Pretty much anything that you have at your disposal. And you can use traditional garden soil or specially made fleece or foam sheets to grow your microgreens. You can start in your kitchen or in a greenhouse if you've got one. But if you are looking to get going with more than just, you know, a one-off container, I definitely recommend setting up a few shelves with some grow lights, heat mats, and maybe even a fan. You definitely want to make sure that you have circulation in any kind of indoor growing operation that you have. And if you're interested in using hydroponics to grow your microgreens, check out episode 2, all about hydroponics, called Hydroponics. Astronauts do it, and so can you. I can't tell you how proud I am of that episode title. Either way, no matter how you grow, you do want to make sure that you sow your seeds pretty densely. There's no need to worry about thinning out the plants because they're not going to get big enough to cause any concern. But if they're sown too closely together, you do reduce air circulation, which can lead to plant disease, which is where the fan comes in. Now, for small seeds, you want no more than like a dozen seeds per square inch. And for medium to large seeds, no more than 8 seeds per square inch. And that's still a lot. To increase germination rates and to increase humidity, you can cover with a lid. Most kits come with a lid or even a wet paper towel just to help out a little bit. And then just like any other growing method, you want to be mindful of how much water you're using. It's better to underwater than to overwater. And then like we said, depending on the variety, you can harvest anywhere from 2 to 4 weeks after you've planted. So you're looking at microgreens that are about 1 to 3 inches, depending on the variety. And the easiest way to do this is to just cut the greens at soil level with a pair of scissors. And you may be able to regrow your greens after cutting, but the quality and the yield won't be the same. So the standard practice is one cut harvesting. So what this means is after you cut it, that's it. You move on to the next, you plant another succession. Now, if you do plan on marketing your microgreens, the best option from what I've seen, what I've bought, is to sell the full rooted product itself. So that means that the plant is still rooted in the media, whether it's soil or soilless, and it's sold as a living product. And by now you may be saying, well, that's all well and good, Harmony, but why would someone stop at microgreens when you can grow the whole plant, right? What are the benefits? Well, let's talk about it. Microgreens can be grown indoors and year-round. They take up much less space than their mature counterparts. So already it's got a lot of things going for it. If you're tight on space or you're limited on time that you can dedicate, these things are done in 2 to 4 weeks. So it's very quick. It's very easy. Again, it's indoors. You don't have to have a lot of space, but nothing is foolproof, and that includes microgreens. Microgreens also have a more intense flavor. They're more tender and they can be very colorful. And most notably, they contain higher levels of vitamins when compared to the mature plants. About 5 times more, actually, according to some studies that were conducted at the USDA Agricultural Research Service. We're going to take a quick break for a word from our sponsor, and when we come back, we'll get the Q&A started. Before we begin the Q&A, I'd like to take a moment to thank everyone who submitted questions. My favorite part of every episode is answering these questions, so I really appreciate it. To get us started, Kelsey from Ohio asks, how do I know when to water my houseplants? Okay, so there are a few different things to look at when it comes to watering your plants. And some plants like Vetonias are super drama queens, and they'll tell you as soon as they feel the slightest bit parched by drooping. And then they'll reward you by perking back up, like sometimes within the hour. Most plants are not so vocal though. And with as many types of plants as there are just as many needs. A cactus and a succulent will always need less water than a tropical plant. So start by knowing what you have. Once you know what you have, it becomes a whole lot easier to know what you need to do. Now you can also use the fingertip test. If you stick your finger into the soil and it comes out wet, don't add any water. And if it comes out dry, then add more water. It's pretty simple to follow. It's a bit reactive, but the other way to tell when to water your plants is by observing them. So if they look thirsty, give those plant babies water. And how does a plant look thirsty? If it starts drooping, if the leaves look wrinkly, if it starts turning brown or falling off, if the pot itself feels light when you pick it up, those are all signs that it's thirsty and that it needs water. Next, we have Erica from Arizona who asks, can I use coffee grounds in the garden or in my compost? You can add to your compost, but you want to keep the coffee under 25% total of your compost. So if you take part in any type of coffee ground recycling program through your local coffee shop or Starbucks or anything like that, that is great. It is a really good way to reuse what you've already got. Or if you just drink 3 pots of coffee a day, it's great to reuse it. But like I said, you want to make sure that you're adding other things to the compost and keeping that coffee under 25% total of that compost. And coffee also has quite a bit of nitrogen. It's about 2% nitrogen. So you can use it in the garden as a slow release fertilizer. And if you use it as a soil amendment, you do want to use a thin layer, maybe about 1/2 inch when you use it as mulch. If you put too much, then the coffee grounds can become compact and they can decrease the aeration and the moisture in the soil. And as far as what to use it on, blueberries, tomatoes, fruit trees, and azaleas all respond really well to coffee grounds. And then our last question comes from Jake in Michigan. Jake says, I'll be growing peppers for the first time this spring. Do I need to stake them? Hey Jake, great question. You do not need to stake your peppers. You can plant them using the square foot method, so they kind of lean on each other if you want, but they don't even really need that. You can just plant them without any additional support and they'll be completely fine. As always, those were some great questions. Thank you all for submitting them. But what's the lesson from the garden and how can we apply it to ourselves? There's no one size fits all, and what works for one may not work for another. And it would be nice if everyone were able to have these multiple acre biodiverse farms. But sometimes all you've got is a few seeds and an old Tupperware container. And that might be one step further to bigger things, or it might be where you stay. And either way is okay because there is no one size fits all. Thank you for being here with me for today's episode of Garden with Harmony. Be sure to like, follow, or subscribe on your preferred podcast platform for new episodes. And if you really like what you've heard today, leave me a review on Apple Podcasts and tell me all about it. For more information about today's episode, links, and show notes, or to submit a question for the show, please go to my website, www.gardenwithharmony.com.